I've got more questions, but you guys should have an opportunity, and I will ask the panelists to be brief in their answers. You know.
Yes. When outreach participants leave ceasefire, where are they directed? Are they directed for other motivation? Are they directed for mentoring?
It's a variety. We have in each neighborhood, we actually develop partnerships, coalition with other service providers. So depending on the needs, you saw the referral list. That's generally provided through a partner group. But the outreach workers and the interrupters both are always working with folks that they see on the streets around anger management, conflict resolution, those kinds of things. So we try to use an array of service providers. I got to tell you that most of the programs that are desired the most are really hard skills. You know, there's someone way in the back.
It's
an issue that we're very aware of, and we've already had one training. We've got another training that's going to be done. And in a previous life, I worked very closely with our coalitions against sexual assault and domestic violence. So they're my go-to people that we bring in. And as it happens, the trainer from the sexual assault coalition in particular has had work in the area of corrections. So she's really, really good in terms of her understanding of the population that we're working with, as well as the folks that we hire. So she can speak in a way that a lot of us can't, as far as being credible with them. Yes.
Can you talk about how you collect the data and how you feel like to outreach workers and interrupters do that, the electronic stuff, and how does that work?
Tim?
There's been, for many years, it was just sort of paperwork format. And we would have, there's trainings for the outreach workers on, they have intake forms for all their clients, which the like identifying information of the client doesn't go on that paper. They have an ID number, and we don't ask for their date of birth, we ask for the year of birth. And that information, so there's an intake form and some sort of risk reduction plan, which was what the participant was interested in working on for themselves. And, you know, so it was designed, we trained towards, this participant might have X, Y, and Z issues, but if they only want help with Y, that's what you're going to work on. Because if you say they have substance abuse issues and that's what they really need help on, but they're not interested in that, then you're not going to get anywhere. So the risk reduction plan and then the case note, which is something that they do every time they work with their client, and they're supposed to see their client at least twice a week. Or participant, and then so that all that information has been transferred into an electronic format, and we've in the last 4 months been really it's added to the training that Frank was mentioning to train all of the outreach staff, and we have staff with varying degrees of computer literacy, but it seems to be working very well, and I get a lot of phone calls asking for technical assistance, but overall I think that the staff it's building their skills, and it's more fun, I think, than filling out paperwork. And then for the interrupters, there's another form that they fill out, and they have meetings every week, and once a month we go over each of the forms for that month. And, you know, the director of mediation services, Tio, who Alfonso was talking about, we walk through, you know, like tell us where this happened, what happened, and, you know, is it really a conflict? And so there, you know, sort of a checks and balances to make sure what they're filling out is actually occurred. I don't know if they're...
Good. Thanks. Yes, ma'am.
Besides involved in a shooting or likely to involve in a shooting, what other criteria do you classify as
gender? Age, criminal history, whether they have crimes against persons, whether they're a weapons carrier, whether or not they've recently been shot, whether they're an active member in one of our more violent gangs in Chicago. We actually have gangs in Chicago that are not involved in a lot of violence. A key member, if they're an influential person in a particular gang. Did I get them?
Yeah. Victim? Did you say victim of violence?
Victim of violence, victim of shooting, recent victim. Yes, ma'am.
What kind of support services do you have for the interrupters? You talk about monitoring and making sure that they don't need that. What kind of services are available to them? What do you need to help them in working in a stressful environment?
Yeah. We actually have the good fortune of having a psychologist on staff who's supposed to be head of our evaluation unit. But quite frankly, she spends a lot more time, you know, working one-on-one and debriefing with the workers. So if there's an incident that involves a number of people, she'll sit down with everybody and kind of go through that and the impact that has on them. And then we've also, in the last year or two, put a lot more emphasis on staff development. So that we're recognizing, and Frank has been saying for a long time, that the life of an outreach worker, the life of a field staff member for us, is 3 to 5 years. And we're really now taking that very seriously. And we know that there are some people that are going to be successful out there for a longer period of time. But our plan is to help people build their skills so that they can transition into another position where they'll be successful. They won't have to work just for us if they choose to, and we can kind of build out their skills to kind of move them into other job tracks. Sir?
What relationship do you have with schools, and have there been any challenges, and how have you overcome them?
Fonz, do you want to talk a little bit about what you've done in school, briefly?
And school bodies, there's a lot of vibe. When you have school bodies, we can't, by me being an ASCOM, I can't go into the school and speak. So what I do, I know by that coming out of my community, where I live from, well, I try to talk to them, but once they get to the schools, they got a lot of adversaries, you know, they have to go through, and the things they have to go through. So what we have to do with the other violence is to work with disruptors, might work another beat. I have to talk to them about we being a team. You talk to them and let them know, say, them guys over there fighting, I just heard of one of them say they're going up to the school and get out. So we have to get up there, try to beat them up there and get them to stop them from fighting up at the school.
We now have funding from the Angel Network, Oprah's Foundation, to actually pilot some of our work in the schools. So we have some outreach workers that are going to be doing some work in the schools while the interrupters are kind of active around the schools. Because in Chicago, you know, the public schools will tell you that everything's fine in the schools. They have no problems, but everything, all the violence that takes place in the community. What we found is there are things that start in the schools that play out in the community. There are things that start in the community, play out in the schools. And so we're actually going to be piloting a response that's a little more organized than what we've done in the past, which is kind of ad hoc. If there's a lot of stuff going on, and I think, Amina, you got pulled into some of the stuff at Crane?
No, that was sorry.
Oh, okay. You know. Okay.
At the Crane thing, there was a big war going on. We had to get up there in the school. And then the principal allowed us to get there in the school and, you know, and do role play with the guys who was involved. And it was a gang war between guys. One guy got killed. Somebody was coming from a project, you know, dominate this little area. This one group that dominate this area won't allow the other group to come down now. To get in school, you know, these are our kids. Talking about the getting in these schools, and we had to get up there and stop them from going back.
So we've done one-on-one and some group work. We've done some mediations, actually, in the schools, but we're really now piloting something that's a little more structured. We've got about 5 more minutes. Yes, sir.
How does and can the federal government most effectively support your work?
We actually haven't had any experience with, we get money from the Department of Justice, and for which we are very thankful. And it supports our site on the west side that is really sort of our demonstration site. It's the one that, through all the ups and downs, continues, and it continues because of the support that we've gotten from OJP. In terms of work with others, we have... HHS has given us some funding for capacity building, so, you know, we have some support for training. And we're always building relationships with other departments to see if we can kind of push out. We're particularly interested in having a relationship with the Department of Labor. And then we have community, there are other groups that we partner with. We partner with the Safer Foundation on some reentry work, some work that's been piloted based on the Urban Institute's activities, and other groups where there's federal funds that flow to us, you know, through contractual relationships.
Do you have office space, or are you needing help in facilities and partners?
The money that we get from the state, we get $6.25 million from the state of Illinois, which then is subcontracted out to partner groups, mostly subcontracted out to partner groups. There are a couple of areas where we have to manage the program. we couldn't find a local partner. But they then have open storefronts if their base of operation is not already in one of the hotspot areas. And then, you know, a lot of churches have been great in opening their doors and giving us meeting space. You know, we are frequently doing things, particularly if you need to have a meeting in a neutral site, and we want to make sure that different groups are comfortable coming there. We've had great success with that. Frank, did you want to? Okay. Yes, sir.
Do the violence interrupters get any kind of safety training, out there in the field doing this sort of stuff?
Yeah, they've gotten some safety training, and they've also gotten legal training. We've had attorneys come in and speak with them about, you know, how to conduct themselves if they're the subject of an investigation, or not the subject of an investigation, if they're being questioned by law enforcement. So yes, they have. Barbara, did you have a question? We haven't maxed out yet. Charlie, do you want to suggest what it would cost for us to max out and the number of workers we'd need to have on the street?
Well, we've done a number of analyses to look at, like, specifically in Chicago, what we would take to saturate the city, as well as nationwide to look at other cities. Because we were mentioned in the burn grant application is a program for upper replication, but as well, we would like to replicate this in other areas, and we're looking at other cities. Specifically in Chicago, we believe it would take about 261 outreach workers and somewhere in the neighborhood of like about 60 or so violence interrupters, 50 to 60 violence interrupters, to really saturate the whole city. And what that means is we've identified, you know, there's about 280 police beats in Chicago. There's 117 that account for 76% of the shootings and killings. So if we can get into those 117 police beats and really saturate this idea of behavior change in those areas, we feel like we can have a substantial effect on the entire city. And so that's Chicago. You know, we look at the same type of analyses in other cities. We'll look at how many areas and how many outreach workers we'll need for those areas so we can target them for specific areas, because when you're talking about saturation, it's specific to the areas where there's the highest need.
We can do one more question. Yeah.
The gentleman here about the issue of Department of Health, I would really encourage you to, I'm a clinician, I'm a physician assistant, and if you were to look at health professionals, you could get a lot of support. We see these issues, violence as health issues, and we see the children coming into the clinics, young, getting physicals and so on, and education is something that's very important. So it's just another place maybe to think of looking at how you might partner with your message, because I could even imagine having the message brought to families through health professionals in clinics. There are lots of additional, and Department of Health, I worked in New Mexico for years, Department of Health would be a natural.
Yeah, the program in Baltimore is anchored out of the health department there.
Yes.
And we routinely try to engage the health department, but it doesn't always work, you know. But I must say, some of our strongest advocates in Chicago are the trauma docs that, you know, see these folks coming in, day out. Because the Attorney General is going to be speaking, I need to cut this off. I want to thank you all for your attention. You are asked to be seated by 11:50 because I'm gathering he's on a tight schedule. Thanks so much for coming.